Good morning. Welcome to Trust the Bible. We're getting ready to celebrate Christmas and tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. But this week we're talking about Hanukkah, and I explained yesterday how they are really celebrating two similar things. Hanukkah, though, is focused more on the end time events. There's a prophetic element to it. It describes how God delivered his people from someone who is very similar to the Antichrist. And in the future, one day, God will again deliver his people when Jesus returns, when Jesus comes, not to be born of a virgin, but comes as a king ready to rule and deliver God's people from the greatest oppressor ever, the Antichrist. A lot of similarities exist between the Antichrist as Revelation describes him and a figure from history that has already lived and already did many of the things the Antichrist will do. And he lived in 164 BC, which is the year that a number of things happened that Jews celebrate every year at Hanukkah. And I think Christians can as well, because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ observed Hanukkah. It is a holiday that goes back that far and has a lot of similarities, as I've said, with Christmas. So we're going to get into the text of Daniel chapter 8. Does the Bible talk about Hanukkah? Yes, it's in Daniel chapter 8, a very detailed account of the events of Hanukkah. And so we're going to look at that this morning. This is Trust the Bible, and the purpose of this program is to grow your confidence that the Bible is true and the ultimate resource for life. And one of the things that really shows the truth of the Bible is prophecy. Daniel was written more than 400 years, or about 400 years, before the events that are described in Daniel chapter 8, and then they come to pass between 170 and 164 BC. Let's start with the text. Daniel chapter 8 says, and I've already introduced this, that there is a goat. He has this big horn. He represents Alexander the Great. And we're going to start off with verse 9. Out of one of them came another horn, which started small, but grew in power to the south and to the east and toward the beautiful land. It grew until it reached the host of the heavens, and it threw some of the starry hosts down to the earth and trampled on them. It set itself up to be as great as the commander of the army of the Lord. It took away the daily sacrifice from the Lord, and his sanctuary was thrown down. Because of rebellion, the Lord's people and the daily sacrifice were given over to it. It prospered in everything it did, and truth was thrown to the ground. Well, I just said a lot of different things, but all of this is describing this horn. There's this kingdom represented by a goat that is Greece. The large horn representing Alexander the Great is broken off. Four horns grow up. Those represent the four Greek kingdoms that followed Alexander the Great. And out of one of these is this small horn that does a lot of things. And this small horn, as we read this description and you study the events in Israel, you realize that we now know who this small horn is. Daniel is talking about a small horn and a vision for things hundreds of years in the future, but then they come to pass. This ruler comes out of one of these four Greek kingdoms who begins to do all of the things I just read. He grows until he reaches the host of heaven and throws some of the starry hosts down to the earth and tramples on them. Well, what does that mean? Does it mean that he literally reached up into the sky and grabbed the stars? No. All of these words that are used are symbols commonly understood in this time period to represent certain things. And what is being described here is a persecution of the saints. Another thing we read is he sets himself up to be as great as the commander of the army of the Lord. He stops daily sacrifice in the temple, and his sanctuary was thrown down. The Lord's sanctuary is thrown down. And we begin to put together now a lot of things that he does. Now, there are a lot of other things that Daniel chapter 8 says about this little horn, but I'm going to now jump to what actually happened at Hanukkah. And not going to go into too much detail, but give you an overview of some of the historical events that happened that fulfill what Daniel's talking about. First, in 170 BC, Antiochus IV, who was the king of one of these Greek empires that ruled over Israel, comes to power and he assassinates the high priest of Israel at that time, Onias. And this begins a period of 2,300 days in which the Jewish system is under assault. And Daniel specifically mentions 2,300 days later on in chapter 8. It ends with the beginning of the celebration of Hanukkah. So we're in a period of a little over 6 years in which the Jewish people face intense persecution led by this wicked ruler, Antiochus IV. He ends up coming into the temple and he stops the sacrifices of the Jewish people, just as Daniel prophesied. And he builds an altar to Zeus and he sacrifices a pig. Therefore, no Jew could think of using this temple now to worship God. It has been completely desecrated. A pig, one of the unclean animals, is sacrificed on an altar to Zeus, a pagan god, at the Temple Mount. And so what Antiochus does from this point on is he begins a campaign to eradicate the Jewish religion. He tells all Jews that you need to stop observing the Sabbath. You are not allowed to do any kind of sacrifice that would be honoring to the God of Israel. You must sacrifice to pagan gods and embrace the Greek religion. And if you don't, you will face death. Oh, and many Jews said, we would rather die than worship a false god, than betray our God. About 80,000 men, women, and children were put to death at this time by the Greek forces. Can you imagine the intense pressure to bend a little, to say, well, I'll put on a show and offer this offering when the Greek soldiers come in so that I don't get put to death? But many Jews, many did follow and cave in and worship the Greek gods, but many said no. And many were put to death. This is very much like what the Antichrist will do. Revelation and Daniel tells us when the Antichrist comes, he will put an end to sacrifices and he will intensely persecute any who follow the true God and who refuse to worship him. He will speak boastfully, which is what Antiochus does. So we see a lot of the same things. This is the power of the Antichrist at work in Antiochus, the same power that will be at work in the Antichrist when he comes. But there is a deliverance. There is an end. He thrives for a time, but not forever. And so what we read about in the book of Maccabees, which is, I don't believe, a book that should be in the Bible. It's not the inspired word of God, but many good books, historically accurate, faithful to good theology, that help us understand good teaching, are written that are not part of the Bible, and we still read them and study them, and Maccabees is like that. And Maccabees tells us about what happens. There is a priest named Mattathias who is told, worship a foreign god or else. And all of the Jews in the city that he was in, just outside of Jerusalem, are told this. And one of the Jews gets up to do the sacrifice. He says, okay, I don't want to die. I'm going to sacrifice to this foreign god. And Mattathias gets up and kills him. And that is an instant act that is basically a declaration of war. He says, you know what? The Bible says that we are not allowed to tolerate any of our people going over to worship foreign gods or leading our nation astray. This is what happened before the Babylonians came. And if we stand up and stand by God's law, no matter the cost, God will deliver us. And so he is ready to die fighting to free Israel and the temple from this wicked oppressor. And what happens is he actually succeeds. He leads a movement that overthrows the Greek forces, and this leads to Hanukkah. And I'll tell you exactly how that leads to Hanukkah next time. Until then, remember, you can trust the Bible.